I bring you grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is great to be back here. We were here earlier in the summer. My wife Marie and I were, as you celebrated, some pastoral anniversaries. So it's great to be back. This time my wife didn't come along. You're just stuck with me. But I want you to know that when I saw Pastor Bearwalt this morning, opportunity to bring them back into the fold. It's a calling. A calling that you have been given by God. Humbling, isn't it? Because who of us hasn't messed up? Who of us hasn't said the wrong thing or failed to do the right thing? Nonetheless, Jesus, who calls those disciples to himself, has called you to himself. He has renewed you and he has forgiven you. And he reminds you that your words matter, that your actions matter, that your attitude matters, how you treat people in church matters, and how you treat your neighbors matter. Isn't it amazing that he chose you? Isn't that amazing? And isn't that beautiful? The little ones in the text are ordinary people like you and me. Not significant. Names aren't in the press. Probably nobody's tweeting about you these days. The little ones to whom has been entrusted the kingdom. And then there's the opportunity you have as a disciple to forgive your neighbor as you have been forgiven. Sometimes Jesus says you're going to have to rebuke your brother or your sister. Have you ever known somebody you saw them do something wrong and you couldn't wait to tell them? Anybody? Oh, one. There's one in the front. And when we get the opportunity to bring somebody back, to rebuke them, we get to do that. We do it not to say you're wrong and I'm right. We do that because we want to bring them back. We want to be reconciled to them. We want to bring them that rich forgiveness that God is known for. Have you ever found it hard to forgive? Have you ever said, I forgive somebody, but the next time you see them and they make you mad, you pull it out of your back pocket? That beautiful gift of forgiveness that Jesus gives to his disciples, that beautiful gift of forgiveness that Jesus gives to you today. That's the goal. To be forgiven and to receive forgiveness. That's the goal, that your community would be strengthened and encouraged, that the church around the world would be strengthened and encouraged because we are rich in forgiveness. Now you might say, I'm not sure that we got that challenge there, right? What if somebody sins against you many times? How many times? When do you run out of forgiveness? And Jesus says, well, when has God run out of forgiveness? I mean, aren't you glad this morning that God hasn't run out of forgiveness? Aren't you glad? Do you ever look in the mirror at yourself and say, boy, sometimes I do the dumbest things? Or do you ever have the devil kind of whispering in your ear, reminding you of the sins of your youth? Because he's the accuser. He wants you to despair of God and he wants you to despair of forgiveness. He wants you to think that you run out of forgiveness. But God doesn't run out of forgiveness. He is rich in mercy in his son Jesus. And I am here to tell you today that Jesus would have died just for you. He called you. His blood covers your sins. You are free and forgiven. And when the devil tries to haunt you, and the devil tries to remind you, you say, Jesus, He took it all. My shame is gone. And because my shame is gone, I can forgive as I have been forgiven. Are there things in your life that you will never forget? Yeah. But by the wounds of Jesus, you are healed. You are a servant. A servant who doesn't cause others to stumble, but lifts them up. You are a servant who knows what it is to be forgiven and knows the richness of forgiveness. Did you notice in this text the apostles? So you got the disciples Jesus is talking to, and then the apostles, those 12 sent ones that Jesus chose, ask Jesus for something. Increase our faith. Could also be translated from the Greek, add to our faith. Kind of an interesting prayer. As a matter of fact, I look at the prayers of the church here, and we're going to ask that the Lord would increase the faith of the church. Add to our faith. Add to your faith. You're not empty, you're full. You're not running out, you have abundance. You're not dead, you are alive in Christ. Add to our faith through word and sacrament. Well, we certainly need to think about this morning the mustard seed. Jesus talks about the mustard seed. Whenever I think about mustard seeds, I think about there used to be little packets that the LWML had called mustard seeds. Anybody else remember them? Little plastic things with little Bible verses and devotions in it? Yeah. And as I was thinking about those mustard seeds, because Jesus talks to his disciples about mustard seeds, and, you know, is a mustard seed great because it's small, or is a mustard seed great because it grows big? Increase our faith. If you have faith like a mustard seed, and that mustard seed grows, your faith grows. It's vibrant. It's alive. St. Mark's faith is vibrant and alive in Christ. And so, little mite box can do some pretty significant things. And I think you, every first Sunday of the month, do mites, don't you? LWML does a lot of phenomenal things. As a matter of fact, I said to my wife, I need a mite box. So she gave me a mite box. And then she shook it and she says, there's not much in it. Should I put some in quick? So the people of St. Mark's thinks you're generous. I said, you just went to your LWML meeting. They'll understand. And then I talked about mite boxes a few, like last year at LWML gathering, and they said, well, Pastor Buss, we do take credit cards now, too. And I said, I give change right now. Thank you, I got kids in college. But it's amazing that they have made this invitation for everybody to be a part of. A mustard seed is small, a coin is small, an offering is small, but God does big things through it, through you. That's the life of a disciple, a servant. That's you and me. Then at the end of the text here, toward the end, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after sheep. Kind of like what a pastor might do. He will say to the servant when he comes from the field, will he say, come sit down, you've been working hard. But won't he say rather, prepare my supper. Get yourself ready, wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink. Jesus reminds you of your servanthood. Some of you have influential jobs. Some of you have great means. Some of you have been pastors. Maybe some of you are rather new. Jesus reminds you and me, we are honored to be servants. Jesus is the greatest of all servants. He laid down his life for you. And he says, if you want to be great, then be ready and willing to be a servant. And in this small little story that Jesus says, he says, you know what? It's an honor to be a servant. It's an honor to get your hands dirty. It's an honor to get your heart dirty. It's an honor to get your heart broken. Because you are servants. Ladies, you are servants. LWML, you are servants. Men, you are servants. Seniors, you are servants. Children, you are servants. St. Mark's, you are servants. Pastors, you are servants. Unworthy servants who have been called into this servanthood. Martin Luther said that a mom who changes the baby's diapers is serving God too. And today the Lord's going to serve you, isn't he? He's going to serve you, my body and my blood, for the forgiveness of your sins. So the servant of all then calls you to be his servants, and we're just doing our duty, and we are glad to do our duty. What I've noticed, last night I was at a wedding, I had a conversation with somebody who was talking about his dad, disappointments in his life. Dad recently passed away, and he said, Pastor Buss, what a waste of a life. What a waste of a life. He was lamenting his dad's pain and his mistakes and tragic death and all that. What a waste of a life. But I'm here to tell you today that your life is not wasted. It is redeemed. You might work with somebody who's living like their life is a waste. You might be a next-door neighbor to somebody who feels like their life is a waste. Maybe you have felt that way, that my life is a waste. And then you have that calling. And he lifts you up, and he picks you up, and he raises you with Christ. A high and a holy calling is yours. Your life is not a waste. Your offerings are not a waste. Your service to your neighbor is not a waste. We are unworthy servants serving the one who has served us. I want to end with this. His name is David Braun. And David was, tells the story, he was in a Russian prison in the 1930s. In a dark, dreary room, with 250 other miserable men. The room was dark. The room was smelly. It was horrible. One guy in that room stood out, though. One guy. He lightened the place. He brought some peace in the midst of chaos. David said, I wanted to know why he was different. And then I found out that he was a Greek Orthodox priest in jail, prison, for his confession of Jesus. He made the place brighter. But there were two guys. And they didn't like that priest. They didn't like his lightness. They didn't like his peace. And so they made fun of him. And they found out that he was a priest. So they made fun of his faith. Things that were holy to the priest, they mocked. Maybe you've met a mocker. Maybe you've been a mocker. They did everything they could do to make his life miserable. But he was still kind and gracious. Then David tells the story about how, much to his surprise and his joy, he received a parcel, a box from his wife. Usually you didn't get them. And as he opens this box up, he finds treasures from his wife. Particularly, he was overjoyed that there was some bread, because everybody was hungry. And as he opens the box and he pulls up the bread, he notices the old priest staring at him. The old hungry priest. David was moved. So he takes a piece of the bread and he gives it to the old priest. Priest stares at it for a moment, tears it in half, and walks over to the two men who made him miserable and gave it to them. David was a little upset. He goes to the priest and said, "Father, I gave that bread to you, and you gave it to them, and they haven't been nice to you. You need it." The old priest said, "My son, my life is coming to an end. They needed it more than me." A few days later, David said, the old priest died. And it was like he had fulfilled his mission. Is that what you would do? But isn't that exactly what Jesus has done for you? He has given you the bread of life. He has given you the cup of salvation. You too have a mission. And everything you are asked to do, everything you're asked to give, has first been given to you. If you're called upon to forgive, it's because you have been forgiven. When you are called upon to show mercy, it's because you have received mercy. If you need to give a little hope to somebody, it's because you have been given hope. The Lord does not ask of you what He has not first given you. St. Mark's, the Lord does not ask of you what He has not first given you. How's your job? Better question. How's it going with your calling? Because you have a calling. And St. Mark's, you've got a calling too. Amen.